Hello, and thank you for joining us for The Central Message, a ministry of Central Chapel Church in Hedgesville, West Virginia. We hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by today's message. Now, here is a word from God's Word with Pastor Keith Walsworth.
Is God trying to get our attention? How many times have we heard that the last few months? In other words, we're saying the coronavirus. Is this a way in which God is trying to get our attention? That's one of those assumptions that we make, but if we're not careful, that assumption can lead me to wrong conclusions. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is to make that statement can lead me to assume that prior to a coronavirus, he wasn't trying to get my attention. But I can assure you, he was. And he is still right now. Then there's another one that we've heard. In fact, I'm probably guilty of even saying it at one particular point or another. And it goes like this, that if God doesn't judge America soon, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Again, that assumption will lead me to a conclusion that God is not judging America now. And so I think both of these assumptions can lead us to wrong conclusions, and I think in our study of the book of Romans, we can certainly see that. We've been studying the book of Romans at Central Chapel for the last few weeks. And now with the coronavirus and not meeting publicly and doing this live on tape, I thought I would recap this for a whole audience. Because I think many of us are asking these questions. Is God trying to get our attention? And we assume that because America is still standing, that God is not judging America, that somehow he is still pleased with us? I don't think he is. But anyway, I'd like you to take your Bibles and go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 18 and read down through verse 5 of chapter 2. And we read this, starting in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known or manifest in them, for God has shown it to them, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Then in chapter 2, he continues, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same thing. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation in the righteous judgment of God. So Paul is addressing right off the bat this idea that if God is not pouring his wrath out on us, that somehow he is pleased with us. You see, when we think of God's wrath, many of us are guilty of thinking of those occasions where his wrath was poured out in a drastic way. It was impossible to not see it or to experience it. For instance, we've got the flood in Noah's day, and we're told there that the thoughts and imaginations of man became evil continually, and God came to Noah, and Noah built the ark, and God poured his wrath out in the flood and destroyed the whole human race except for Noah and his family. And that's what we think about of God's wrath. Or when we get to the book of Numbers and we see a certain group of people who are opposing Moses, and the earth just opens up and swallows them. I mean, there's no missing that. It's very evident. Then there's the account in the early church, Acts chapter 5, I believe it is. And a couple, Ananias and Sapphira, had sold some property, and they were going to give the money to the church to be distributed to the poor, which was an honorable thing. But they decided to keep a portion for themselves, which they could have kept the whole amount to themselves, but they wanted it to appear as though they were given it all when they weren't. And so Ananias was the first one that came before the church, and he was questioned, "Is this the money that you've received from selling your land?" And he said, "Yes," and God zapped him right there, dead in front of the congregation. And they pull him out, and a little bit later, Sapphira shows up to the worship service, and she comes to the front, and they questioned her, and "Sure," she says, we brought it all to the church," and God zapped her right there. So there have been those times when God pours out his wrath upon mankind. It is visible. You can't miss it. And so we come to these conclusions that that's what God does. He just does these horrible things, and he pours out his wrath on mankind. But when you get to Romans chapter 1, Paul is saying that's not always true. Because verse 18, he said that his wrath is being revealed, present tense. How is God's wrath being poured out? Well, his wrath is being poured out by God just simply stepping away from mankind, just kind of backing away and allowing man to go on his own. And as man goes on his own, he proves his own depravity. You see, God's wrath is different than man's wrath. I mean, man's wrath is, you know, we fly off the handle, we get angry, and we explode, but that's not God's wrath. His wrath is never malicious. It's never vindictive or spiteful. He hates evil. He opposes evil. And because he is holy, he has to judge evil. But the thing that we need to understand is God doesn't enjoy zapping people. Somehow we think that God just is cosmic killjoy, sitting up in heaven and just waiting for us to do something wrong, and he just zaps us. That's far from the truth. And I hope this passage will show that. But even if we go back and look at Old Testament passage, Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, where God is calling to his people, and he says to them, "As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from their way and live. And God cries out to them, "Turn, turn from your ways, that you should not die, O house of Israel." And so Ezekiel's saying God doesn't enjoy zapping people. He would rather that people repent from their sins. And then in the New Testament, we've got 2 Peter. And in his second epistle, Peter is discussing this as well. And he's talking about the end days, and maybe we're in those last part of those days. But anyway, he says there are going to be scoffers. There are going to be people that are going to come along and say, you guys, you've been saying that Jesus is coming back. You've been saying Jesus is his return is soon. And look, we're almost 2,000 years from that time. And where is his coming? Everything continues as it always has. And they think we're a bunch of religious fanatics. But Peter is saying in his epistle, listen, the Lord is not slack concerning his coming, as some men count slackness. But he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any of us should perish, but that all would come to repentance. But then he goes on to say, but the day of the Lord is going to come. It's going to come like a thief. But until then, God is patient, and he is waiting for us to respond. You know, and as we go back and look at some of those accounts in the Old Testament, I mean, we mentioned the flood of Noah's day, and we go back there and evaluate it, but it tells us in chapter 6 there that the thoughts and the intents of man were continually evil. God could have judged them much sooner than he did, but he was patient. He waited. In Genesis chapter 15, we read an account where God is explaining to Abraham that down the road a ways, he's going to deliver his people. And he explains to Abraham that before the people get to the promised land, after he sends them into Egypt for 400 years, when they come back, at that point, the people living there will be ready for judgment. Right now, their evil is not fulfilled. Their evil had not come to that extent to where God felt that it was ready to just destroy them. Again, God allowing man, in a sense, stepping back, allowing man to go his own way, but at a certain point, God pours his wrath out. You're probably familiar with the book of Jonah. And God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Nineveh was a wicked city. In fact, that's why Jonah fled. They were notorious for their wickedness. And yet God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach to them repentance. Because if they don't repent, I will bring destruction on them. And so what does Jonah do? He goes to Nineveh, he preaches repentance, or God will destroy you, and the people repented. So God is not a God that delights in zapping us. He is a patient God waiting for us to respond to him. And so what Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 1 is that God in his wrath, no, he's not destroying them, but his wrath is being revealed by him just stepping back and away. Three times we saw that. Because man did not glorify God as God, because they became fools, professing themselves to be wise. In verse 24, it says, therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. So what we find here is God's wrath is just slowly giving man over to himself, and he proves his own depravity. So to say that if God doesn't judge America soon, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah, then that leads us to assume that God is not judging America today. But as I read Romans chapter 1, I can't help but see that God is judging America today. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, we're told. In verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. You see, the truth is the truth, even if no one believes it. And a lie is still a lie, even if everybody believes it. And so here God's wrath is being displayed simply by him stepping away and allowing man to go his own way, to do his own thing, to prove in a sense to the whole world, we are depraved. We are sinful people. We do not have a desire to seek God, to love God. We have a desire to seek what I want, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so God just steps away and lets us go our own way. So that first assumption we can't assume, because I think Romans 1 makes it clear that probably God is already judging America. Then the next one, that maybe through the coronavirus, God is trying to get our attention. So that assumption makes me think that maybe prior to corona, he wasn't. But this passage makes it very clear that he was. So we start out in chapter 2, and he's telling us to be careful here. You know, we look back at chapter 1, and we see all these bad, evil things that people are doing, and we say, well, we're not like them. And he's saying, you be real careful here in the way that you judge others. If you remember, when Jesus walked on this earth, the people that he had the most trouble with were religious people. People that were sincere and devoted to their religion. They knew the Bible. They were active in their synagogues, or we could say churches. They were doing all the right stuff. But even though they were doing all the right stuff, they didn't have a relationship with God. In fact, Jesus said, you say that you're a child of God, but I say unto you, you're nothing more than a child of the devil. And so to prove that to them, if you remember, Jesus was teaching, and here are these religious fanatics are there, and they're pretty proud of themselves. And Jesus said, have you ever committed adultery? They said, oh, no, we don't, we won't do that. We stone people who do that. And so then Jesus said, have you ever lusted in your hearts? Now he was getting down to it. You see, he was trying to show that inside of us, we are guilty. We are sinners. And even though we did not commit adultery outwardly, we have had those thoughts in our minds, and it makes us guilty. He asked the question, have you murdered anyone? Nope. No, we're not guilty of that. Oh. Have you ever had evil thoughts towards someone, hated someone? He's got us again. So that's what he's saying, is be very, very careful how you judge others, because you're probably guilty of the same things. Not doing it the same way, but guilty of the same sins. But in chapter 2, verse 4, he says, or do you despise the riches and the goodness, forbearance? I'm sorry. Do you despise his riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? I mean, the very fact that you're alive, the very fact that your lungs are sucking air and your heart is thumping, is showing that God has been good to you. He has not given you, he hasn't given me what I deserve. And so the very fact that we're alive and we're listening to this message is proof that God has not poured out on us what we deserve. And so what he says in here is that we have to be careful. Are we despising the riches of his goodness? Are we despising the riches of his forbearance? Are we despising the riches of his long suffering? What is he saying? Well, the very fact that God is good, his goodness is, he's been kind to me. He's been kind to you. He hasn't given us what we deserve. He's been gentle with us. We have sinned. Our sin deserves death, and yet we're still alive. And we're despising that goodness that God has given to us. His forbearance is the idea that he has tolerated us over these years. We have failed him over and over and again, and yet he has sustained us. He has tolerated us. Not that he has condoned or overlooked our sin, but he has tolerated us. And then lastly, he says the long suffering, the patience of God. Remember what Peter was saying? God is not slack concerning his promise. This world is coming to an end. God will eliminate, destroy it. But he hasn't yet. And the reason he hasn't yet is he is desiring that sinful man will recognize his sinfulness, turn from his sinfulness, and repent and come to him. And so Paul is saying, listen, listen. He said, are you despising the riches of God's goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? See, right now, God is, he's trying to get our attention. He's trying to get your attention. And the fact that you're listening to this message is proof of that. And if you have never surrendered your life to Christ, God is saying, listen, I've been gentle with you. I've tolerated you all these years. And I've been patient. But one of these days, because that's what he says in verse 5. Did you catch that? In verse 5, he says, listen, but in accordance with the hardness of your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation in the righteous judgment of God. What he's saying is, if we don't respond to his patience, if we don't respond to his goodness, if we don't respond and receive the gift that he has offered to us, then one day we're going to stand before him and we are going to experience the wrath of God. I mean, to stand before him and to hear him say the words, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. Oh, but Lord, we've been good church people. We've cast out demons in your name. We've done many wonderful things. And he'll say, I'm sorry, I never knew you. You see, God's not looking for us to be religious. He's looking for a relationship with us. And the only way that we can have a relationship with us is to realize how badly we need the gift that he has supplied. Most of us grew up with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. You see, we've all sinned. That's what Paul is trying to get at. The first three chapters of the book of Romans is to bring us to the point where we understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then we read a little farther in the book of Romans that the wages of sin is death, complete separation from God for eternity. But there's a gift. And that gift is called the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the book of Romans says that whosoever shall confess the Lord Jesus, we can have eternal life. So God's been patient with us. So looking at these assumptions, to say that God is, if he doesn't judge America soon, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I think in Romans chapter 1, he is judging America. And then to look at the coronavirus and say, is God trying to get our attention? My friends, he has been trying to get our attention. The very fact that we're alive. Our hearts are beating. Our lungs are sucking air. It proves that God's desire to woo us to himself. You see, salvation is a gift from God. Ephesians, we're told, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You see, salvation is a gift that God gives to us. It's something that we don't deserve, but the reason that he gave his only begotten son is God became man and dwelt among us, and Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary to die in my place because of my sin. He went to the cross of Calvary to die for your sins, in your place, that we wouldn't have to experience the wrath of God. And the wrath of God was poured out on Christ. My God, why have you forsaken me? Christ cried out. But in doing so, Jesus Christ satisfied the just demands of the Father to where we can be set free. So I'm just wanting to encourage you, if you have never come to that point in your life where you've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, you need to do that. We have all sinned. And what we would like to do is we have a little gift. We have a little booklet that we're offering to each of you. It's called Don't Stub Your Toe. It's written by Todd Friel. And we are wanting to send this free to you if you will just request it by going to the website and clicking on this little link. It'll take you to a form to where you just fill it out and submit it, and we will send it to you. So Paul is saying, look, man is sinful. Man deserves the judgment of God. But right now, God is patiently waiting. So again, as I close in chapter 2, verse 4, he says, do you despise the riches of his goodness? Are you despising the riches of his forbearance? Are you despising the riches of his long-suffering, not knowing that his goodness is supposed to lead you to repentance? My friends, God wants us all to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you have never done that, I encourage you to do so, even yet today. And if you're unsure, ask for the little booklet, and we'll send it to you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we come before you and ask that you would work in our lives. I have tried to look at this passage of Scripture and explain in it and to reveal from it our own need of a Savior. We certainly see ourselves in here, our own sinfulness. And because of that, we deserve your wrath. But you have been patient with us. You have tolerated us all these years. You have been gentle with us rather than giving us what we deserve. And so I pray for those listening to my voice, those who have watched or listened to this message, and ask that you would touch their heart. Open their heart that they might turn from their sins and come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, you are the only one that can accomplish that. And so I submit them into your hands. There are those that may be affected by the coronavirus. And maybe it's this virus that you're using to draw them to you. I pray that they would respond. But may we all remember that one day we each have to walk through the doors of death. And if we do not receive the free gift that you have supplied for us through the Lord Jesus, and place our faith in him alone, by your grace alone, in Christ alone, for our salvation, we will spend eternity separated from you. So I just ask that you would take these words, use it for your honor and for your glory, and we'll thank you for all that you do and accomplish. I want to thank you for taking time to listen to the message today. And my prayer is that not only have you listened, but you will respond for the glory of God.
You have been listening to The Central Message, a ministry of Central Chapel Church in Hedgesville, West Virginia. We invite you to tune in each week at this same time to hear more teaching from the Bible with Pastor Keith Walsworth. If you would like more information on becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, would like to further your walk of faith with him, or would like to visit Central Chapel, please stop by our website at 2016.centralchapel.com. Thank you for joining us today. We hope to see you again next week.